Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Episode 44 of This Is Us 2 is brought to you by the hashtag Minute with Mary. Do you remember those days watching Sesame Street and they were like, today's brought to you by the letter U? And you were like, yeah, I love you. Well, hopefully by now you've searched the hashtag Minute with Mary when you're on Facebook or Instagram. If you have not yet, my friends, you're missing out. Search the hashtag Minute with Mary.
You know, Randall, you wanted to find your birth dad, and you found him. Which led you to his building, which you bought. Which led you to run for city council. You want to do something, you just do it, right? You don't care if it makes sense to any of us or not. It's remarkable. When you have one of those things inside you, you just go for it.
Yeah, I guess I do.
I guess you do. Randall, I've got one of those things inside me. About Dad, I can't let it go.
You need to peel the wallpaper.
I need to peel the wallpaper.
I hope you found what you're looking for, brother.
From Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us 2. It's a podcast dedicated to This Is Us on NBC. So sit back, relax, and let's all have a good cry. Everybody, how's it going? Welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and you know, I think I'm going to apologize to all of you in advance.
Okay.
Because my voice is absolute garbage. It's been a long, arduous week. Red Sox win the World Series. I'm definitely not feeling too good. It was Halloween. And yeah, I'm just a freaking disaster right now.
You know, you're just precious right now. You're just precious. So I will make sure that I do a bit more of the talking today.
Okay.
And you'll get to hear Blake's very deep voice.
Yeah.
You're like Jeremy Irons today. Pretend to be Scar. Mufasa.
I'll be the king.
Be prepared. So, Blake. Well, I just said I would talk a lot. It's actually
your
story day.
I thought you were going to save me from the story today.
Well, no, you wrote down that you had a story, so I want to make sure that you get to share it, and then I'll take over.
Well, I do have a story today. You know, people, I've been reading on Twitter and all that other stuff about Toby and how they're kind of sick and tired of his depression.
Oh.
And I feel like that's a little unfair. You know, I mean, I kind of understand it. Depression doesn't make for the most compelling television on the planet, and I kind of get that. But I will say that I feel like they are depicting depression very well. You know, as a matter of fact, Mary and I just had a conversation, one that I did not want to have. Actually, the other day,
I'm the queen of those.
I know.
I trick him. I'm like, hey, babe, you want to go on a date? You want to go have a drink?
Yeah.
You want to have so much fun? Let's talk about serious stuff.
So we have this conversation, one that is a hard conversation for me, one that is, it always brings up all these really awful feelings for myself. And it's not Mary's fault. It is what it is. But I will tell you that in that conversation, I just shut down. I shut down completely after about 25 minutes. I was cooked, and mentally. And we were on a mini date night, and all I wanted to do was just go home, and all I wanted to do was get in bed and just do nothing, do absolutely nothing, because there was a button in my brain that just switched to off.
Yep.
And I couldn't even converse, really, and I felt terrible about it, but it was just something that happened. And, you know, seeing Toby in that bed, again, while it doesn't make the most compelling television of all time, it's real and it makes sense. And I can't get on the writers, and I can't get on Kevin Sullivan, and I can't get on the show for how they're depicting it, because they're depicting depression in a very real way.
So let's get into the episode details. First and foremost, Blake, what's the title?
I thought you were going to keep talking.
Do you want me to do it?
I'll do it, because I know you're going to kill this.
No, I actually looked up the YouTube how to say it.
Okay, go ahead. What do you got?
Kash Mahamida.
Yeah. No. You're way off.
Wait. Oh, wait. Hold on.
Way
no.
off.
Kamsahamnida. Nope. You know, we were supposed to record this yesterday, and I was really good. I'm terrible.
I got this, Blake. Don't worry about it.
I can
talk. I'll do all the talking. I'll say all the stuff.
Okay. How about this? Kamsahamnida.
Yes.
Kamsahamnida.
There you go. All right, who's the director, my darling?
The director is John Fortenberry, who also directed A Manny Splendored Thing.
Uh-huh.
And the writer for this episode is Vera Herbert, who wrote The Fifth Wheel, Still Here, What Now, and The Trip. So,
okay,
here's
so,
your facts.
Well, you missed one thing. You missed one thing.
What? The question mark you wrote in the Google Drive?
No. Why was this entitled Kamsahamnida?
Oh, because that means thank you.
In Korean.
Yes.
There you go. That's excellent. Okay, you're... Lemonade rating, my darling.
It was a 4.7.
Okay.
And most of the lift in the episode, because there was a lot of stuff that I was like, what? Comes from the twins.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of Kate, bigger fan of Kevin in this episode.
Oh, yeah, I would.
These are people who, like, especially Kate, I've usually been like, Kate, come on, get your act together. Kate's act was so together in this episode that she and Kevin, they have done some serious personal growth in this episode. So that helped elevate this episode's rating.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
For me, this is a
4.4. Oh.
And actually, you know what? There you get.
You, boo.
Yeah,
I got you.
Thank you. You should just control the board.
I should just sing it all with my awkward coffee voice.
Long live the king. That's it. I can't get over the Jeremy Irons reference. That's
You're welcome.
Great.
You're welcome.
I like
You're
that.
You're welcome.
Mixing Lion King and Moana, even better.
I'm a Disney girl at heart.
4.4 for me. It is. I know last episode I said I was preaching patience with everybody. But I'm starting to lose patience, and I'm having a hard time with this.
Hold on tight, Spider Monkey, because here come my GBGs.
All right.
My good, my bad, my great. My good. Kevin. Kevin! yes. So you know why Kevin gets my good? Because he hit rock bottom. We saw Kevin go through this terrible spiral. And let's be real. Kevin wasn't always the greatest person in seasons 1 and 2. I mean, he treated my boy Miguel not so well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But that rhymed. Hey. And we just saw him be the world's worst boyfriend. Okay, the world's worst boyfriend.
Yes.
I mean, he just stunk. But he hit rock bottom, and now he's climbing his way back up. He's trying to be a better person. We see, holy smokes, I would like a Kevin boyfriend on the side. You know, I love Blake, but like Kevin's a pretty dang good boyfriend.
Whoa.
Who wouldn't, right?
Shame.
Just kidding. If I was single, I'd want a Kevin boyfriend. I mean, he's being an awesome boyfriend right now, and just caring and listening and all these sweet things. I'm a huge fan of him. He did a lot of depth and growing. He helped out his brother in this episode. He knows what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Way to go, Kevin. My bad. Does anyone have a job? I don't think so right now. except audio, whose job it was to poo. How are these people paying for health insurance? How are these people paying for their bills? Randall and Beth, I know, had some money, but when, what? Randall, how are you going to now pay your wife to be your campaign manager? What's going on? I'm so confused. I'm so confused by everyone just having all the time in the world. And how long does Toby have for medical leave? I'm just getting confused about the job situation. Whatevs. At least we know Rebecca and Miguel are probably retired. I don't even know about them. Oh, well, that's my bad. Anyone else confused? Let me know on Facebook. And my great for this episode is the Pearsons are getting their act together. They're really like Kate calling her mom and her mom saying, listen, girl, do what I had to do. And there was a little issue. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But Kate did. Kate made a choice. She stood by it. She was able to be a powerful woman and make some choices by herself, which I'm really proud of her for. In the midst of juggling a dog, that was a big rock. I would have been like, take that thing out with surgery. I wouldn't want to poop that out. and Kevin having that conversation with Randall. I'm just happy that a couple, the two Pearsons who were really floundering for so much of This Is Us are really kind of getting a bit stronger in themselves. So that's my great. How about you? What's your GBG?
Oh, okay. My good. What do we got here? My good is the opening sequence for this episode.
Yeah.
It was spectacular. Mm. I mean, it kind of reminded me, you remember Ant-Man? Remember when Michael Pena is talking to all the people and he's like telling the stories of all the people? He's like, hey, man, I went over here and my cousin said this. And then his sister said that. And, you know, the whole thing. And it showed all these different people, all the different perspectives.
Yeah.
And it's telling you a story.
Mm-hmm.
It actually kind of reminded me of that. But it was a conversation about the pregnancy and then how all that develops. And then eventually describing Toby's depression. Mm-hmm. It catches everyone up, and this is how you do exposition, right? You tell a story that to people that you may or may not necessarily already know, but it catches you up, and you tell it in an interesting way.
Mm-hmm.
And like little reactions, like Madison's reaction when she's just screaming on the street, right? Or Randall calling for Beth, and he's like, "We're gonna have another Pearson."
Loved it,
you know. But it's not just Kate talking to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's transitioning from person to person in that conversation. It was almost like a game of telephone. I loved that portion of this episode. The bad. What? Oh my God.
What? Stop. That hurts my ears.
I'm going to bang my head on the mic.
Okay.
What are we doing with this councilman story?
Oh, you know what this is? This is who else hates political ads going on right now? Who hates political signs on your neighbor's lawn? Who hates political stuff in Facebook? Well, guess what? That's real life because the Pearsons hate politics too. And by hate politics, they mean they're heavily involved.
You know, I actually wouldn't put it past This Is Us to be doing this on purpose.
I mean, it's perfect timing. We don't have the episode next week because it is election day.
Right.
So I kind of feel like politics are crazy right now in the U.S. and they were like, let's jump on the crazy.
I think they saw an opportunity and they said, okay, yeah, let's tie the show in to the political climate a little bit here, and not necessarily the climate, but just the action of being political.
Well, and a lot of people, I feel like, because of the current political climate, are running for office that may never have. They just feel stirred up, or they're saying, you know what, I want to kick some people out of office who've been there lifelong. I want to make a change. I wasn't happy with this, so I'm going to go run. And a lot of people, at least in our neck of the woods, are running for office who have no clue what they're doing.
But they're doing it
because they want to make a difference. There are a lot of Randalls out there who say, I see a problem. I don't think it's being taken care of. Heck, I'll run for office. Okay. So I see this and I too am bored, but I'm like, I know probably three or four people off the top of my head who they never have done politics before, but because of what's been going on in the world, they're running for office trying to make a difference.
Right. And I get it. But I think this is a misguided mm-hmm. effort here for This Is Us because it came so far out of left field.
Mm-hmm.
And they, essentially with this episode, they have totally invested themselves in this show's narrative in this councilman story. And it's just not a compelling story. We talked about last week about Councilman Brown. Everybody likes him. He's doing his job.
Yep.
excuse me. But and here's the real issue. If this had just come out of nowhere and Randall's story had kind of run short last season,
mm-hmm.
I get it, because you need something to pump the story up, and
yeah.
maybe this and tying it all in is a good idea. The problem is that you invested so much time in Deja last year
yep.
that she's basically a no-show now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we went from her beating cars, Randall's precious Mercedes,
yep.
having struggles dealing with her mom, and all that invested time with her, and now she's relegated to like one episode and having just some random conversation with Beth. What are we even talking about here?
Mm-hmm.
And who's the your boy Jawan, Randall's new campaign manager all of a sudden? Who's paying him? Who's making a living for Beth and Randall? What about the building that Randall owns? Who's taking care of that? What happened to R&B properties?
Oh my God, what happened to my dream that Kevin was going to be the maintenance guy?
Right, all of that stuff. That's all just taking a back seat because Randall wants to run for councilman, and I cannot stand this part of the story. Every time this comes back on, I'm dreading it.
Well, we'll talk.
But my great.
Let's get in.
I am all in on Kevin's story this year.
Aside from the fact that he's not the maintenance man wielding an axe, and
I'm all in on it. I feel like this is the one place where we can actually see one of our characters grow and grow pretty incredibly.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the conversation that Kevin and Randall had, which is why we played it at the beginning of this episode, about peeling the wallpaper
yes.
and seeing things,
yes.
just not even ever even considering the fact that there was wood paneling behind the wallpaper
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
not even pondering its existence.
Yep.
That is something that happens in real life all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I think we can all relate to in one form or another. But Kevin's journey here, even though they've kind of lengthened this whole revelation period for Kevin, I quite liked it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that this Kevin story is fantastic.
And we said,
that's three.
Big three?
Big three!
All right, starting off the big three feedback. Now I've got a cough. Candy Hartsock says, 3.5 lemonades. Kate getting Toby to go for a walk was her good. Hopefully he is well enough to start feeling better. It takes a long time to get back, and Kate is strong, but she needs to take care of herself right now. Candy's bad was Beth always seems so strong, but sometimes losing your job makes you lose a part of yourself and your identity. I think helping Randall with his campaign will help, but there's something much deeper going on with her. And Candy's great. It was Randall and Kevin working together. These two really didn't get along as children. I'm sure it was a brother against brother vying for dad's attention sort of thing. But to see them teaming up for Randall's campaign is great, especially remembering the peeling of the wallpaper. Also, Randall lying about being picked on so Jack would teach him boxing. The theory of this week that Candy gives, sorry, Blake, is that John, the campaign manager, is going to be a link to Jack's past in some way.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. The next one is Gemma Reinen. She says 4.3, bit of a filler episode. The good was loving the scenes between Randall and Kevin, as well as Kevin's interest in the Vietnam story. The bad, sorry, but the Randall campaign storyline just isn't doing it for me. But at least they got introduced to a charming new character in the form of his campaign manager to make it a bit more bearable. And also, still cannot get on board with Kate. Even the way she told Toby she's strong came off to me as poor me narrative. She can just be, for once, show strength without bringing up everything that's been bad that's ever happened to her in her experience in the past. And she says Sophie has to go, but I think she means Zoe. The great Kevin's open enthusiasm and twinkly-eyed sweetness just loved on him so Aww. Much this episode. And as
twinkly-eyed.
An aside, can I live in Randall and Beth's bedroom? Because that room is just as big as my apartment and
Seriously.
Much nicer.
Seriously. My goodness, Denise Stewart gives this episode 4.6 lemonades. I know many people don't like the many different storylines each episode, but Denise continues to enjoy how each story is somewhat woven into the next. Her good is Kevin when he says, you know, sometimes my heart is so big, I can't even stand it. That actually made me laugh out loud, and Randall's reaction makes it even better. Denise's bad was Rebecca telling Kate that basically she doesn't need to call her with her problems. I know she's trying to help build Kate's confidence in her own decision-making, but if your kid is calling you to ask for help, help. I was 49 when my mom passed, and I was still asking her for advice until that very day. Denise, you bring up a good point that I am going to be talking about in just a little bit. And Denise's great was Deja. The writing for this character is spectacular. She is rough and sweet at the same time. She sees things that the adults who are too busy being adults don't see. She's extraordinary.
I know. I totally agree. And this is why this councilman story taking away from Deja in her development and the idea of her becoming acclimated again to the Pearson household is really unfortunate. Yeah. It's really unfortunate. Yeah. But you know what is fortunate, my darling?
What?
Despite my reservations,
okay,
I have to give you this.
For what?
Because
what today?
I'm giving you kudos for calling the fact. You couldn't get a full on BAM winner. So I'm giving you the outstanding. This is like a half credit for getting the fact that Beth was going to be part of a political campaign. You said that Beth was going to be running.
Yep.
And she still might, but Beth has now joined Randall's campaign. And I got to give you credit because that was your hot take of the week.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, she's going to be better at it than him. However, guys, did you notice she was drinking again?
Yes, she was.
Granted, I'm serious. I'm not trying to say people can't have their wine, okay? I have a glass of vino every once in a while, but I'm just finding it very interesting that this show is showing only one character drink, and it is always Beth. Just saying.
And they made it a point to show you that she was boozing. I mean, like, even when Randall was, like, talking to her, way that the shot was aligned.
And I'm not saying that she's going to have drinking issues. I mean, I really hope not, because we just had that with Kevin. But this is showing you that the thing that is inside Beth is running deep, and she is self-medicating with her drink of choice, and it's not like they're all having a glass of wine at dinner or they're going out. Beth is drinking by herself frequently in the show to share with us that she is struggling alone.
Right.
And nobody's there to give her a big old warm hug.
And you know, despite my reservations about this episode, I wasn't a huge fan. I will say that I did appreciate the main theme of this episode, and that is interaction. It's communication. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about how all of our characters are interacting with each other, especially couples or, you know, for example, like whether it's Saul Brown, who's going all alpha male on Randall at church, which I was a big fan of that, despite the fact that I hate the councilman story. That alpha male stuff was awesome. And how Randall even interacts and convinces Koreatown residents to vote. Jaewon being a professional communicator himself, who is looking to actually help Randall. Beth and Randall communicating about their pain and eventually finally working together on their campaign. Mm-hmm. Randall communicating with Jack about his desire to be like him, learning how to box. Jack and Rebecca talking about how much boxing means to him and then altering their lives to fit that. Even Jack saying to Rebecca, oh, you being in, you know, a nightgown and wearing boxing gloves is a dream, is a fantasy that I didn't know I even wanted. But here he is telling her about that. And then Kevin and Zoe communicating clearly, despite a large block from her wanting to be alone in her hotel room. Kate and Rebecca even communicating on how to make the best decisions. And even Kate and Toby communicating on how she thinks he needs to get up and walk. It is a completely viable theme, one that makes sense, one that can be pushed. Very clear. Deja talking to Beth about how Randall loves her and sees birds coming out of in kazoos or whatever. I really liked what they tried to do with this episode. Do you agree with me?
Yeah. I obviously enjoyed this episode a little bit more than you did.
Yeah.
I'm having hope now in a lot more things, which is good, which is weird because the Toby storyline is scary and sad, and the Randall storyline, just that train doesn't seem to be going well. But I agree with you. The interactions were phenomenal. I loved that church scene. I loved that church scene.
That was a good scene.
That was unbelievable. I didn't love as much Randall showing up at the end and pretty much laying all of his cards out on the table, being like, oh, just so you know, I'm going to be chilling with
with my friends, the Koreans. That's what I'm doing.
I think that kind of runs into what Jack.
No, it totally was.
Was saying, like, you know, he takes a hit and he smiles and he doesn't let him know that he's hurt.
Yeah.
You know, and you can kind of interpret that both ways, mm-hmm. because, you know, Councilman Brown, after, you know, Randall says that to him, he looks at Randall and smiles and says, yes. Okay. But, you know, I like how they kind of weave that in.
So let's talk big three.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Randall. So let's just do it. We all just want to rip this Band-Aid off, this campaign thing. I do not know how I feel about Beth joining Randall's campaign. I really don't. Part of me loves powerhouse Beth. Part of me knows that Beth loves to tackle projects. She's had to work with governments before. As you said, I'm afraid of what's happening to their apartment building. I loved how the girls were like, hey, when are you going to pay attention to us? They pretty much said, like, what we've all been wondering, like, yeah. What about their
let's
family?
Let's talk about us.
Yeah. Let's talk about us for a little bit. And I was like, yes, preach. Wise writers. Nice job. Because the girls have been out of the picture.
Right.
It was nice to see Beth snap, because Beth has been seen so put together, mm-hmm. always beautiful hair, beautiful outfits, beautiful everything. And mm-hmm. let's be real, I feel like that happens to me once a day as a stay-at-home mom to a crazy 3-year-old.
Oh, sure.
You know,
I'm shut up. Go to sleep.
That was us last night after, you know, Halloween candy. I mean, it's been crazy. So I'm just nervous. I feel like all of the signs have been pointing to things ain't good with Beth, and a little Band-Aid of working with Randall isn't going to fix it. So I'm nervous.
I like that Beth is finally starting to get her own arc. Mm-hmm. Finally.
I agree.
It took us 3 seasons to get it, but she's finally getting some stuff that she can
correct
get and chew on her own. I mean, mm-hmm. Again, between the freak out on the girls, mm-hmm. the super duper phone call to the employer, she's like, that'd be super duper. It's like, ooh, it chills up your spine, you know?
Yes.
Susan Kelechi Watson is about to break out here mm-hmm. As Beth. Mm-hmm. And I cannot be happy about that. What do you think?
Oh, I'm thrilled. Absolutely thrilled. Randall. Randall. Bless his little heart. We all know and love someone who's like a Randall in our life, putting on that teal shirt, doing the best that he can. And now
it's not
he
too
has
much of a statement for Black Church, by the way.
loved that.
That was great.
Now he does a campaign manager. Now things are going to take a little upswing for him. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering how this Beth aspect is going to work. It, no matter what, it's going to make at least the political aspect a lot more fun to watch as a viewer, because we love Randall, but mm-hmm. we love Randall and Beth even more.
Right.
We love Beth's sass. We love how she's able to call him out on things. So at least having her there will be for an interesting storyline. I will say I don't think his campaign manager will have to do anything with South Korea. Will have anything to do with Vietnam. Just because Vietnam and South Korea are two very, very different places, far, mm-hmm. far away, far, mm-hmm. far away from each other. But I do think that it's interesting to see how much longer Kevin's going to stay around, because he wants to go to Vietnam. So he's applying for passports. You know, he's applying for visas. So how long is he going to stay in Randall's posse? Because I also love when Kevin and Beth interact. But does he leave like tomorrow for Vietnam, or is he going to wait through the election so he can help out and be what did they call him? Like the baby man?
Yeah, the baby man.
Like, how much longer is the baby man going to be helping out?
And the reason why they called him baby man was because in South Korea, it's like the most popular show.
Yeah.
And that is what the Manny like literally translates into.
I loved it.
It's the baby man, and Kevin is the big star. How about all the little Korean girls just fawning all over Kevin?
Oh my gosh, that was amazing.
And again, it reminds you that Kevin is actually kind of famous. He's kind of famous.
Not kind of, like hardcore famous.
Right. And I loved when Randall's like, yeah, I can't have my movie star brother coming down here to a place.
Like, I feel like for our generation, he would have been John Stamos from Fuller House. Full House. Like, I feel like the man he was supposed to be, same thing. NBC, like plain old network TV.
Yep.
Everybody watches it. It's just a fun filler show. And he's the hot guy. So I feel like if John Stamos, you know, back in the 90s, walked into a little restaurant, I too would have been like, oh my God, Uncle Jesse.
You wearing your Jesse and the Rippers t-shirt.
Yes, exactly. So I'm excited. I hope that if this political campaign story does continue longer, that at least we get to have the baby man and Beth have some interactions with it.
Yes.
That being said, let's move into Kevin.
I I'm all in on Kevin. The one all thing in. I'm not in on, mm-hmm. and I and we have to do our weekly check in or out on Zoe.
Still out.
I'm still way out.
I feel bad, but not really.
I've cut the brakes, like I said last episode. The brakes don't even exist anymore.
The only reason I feel bad is because Kevin's really into her. Like, you know when you have that friend, yeah. you're like, God, I don't like your girlfriend, but you're really happy, and she's not totally mean or terrible. And I just loved how he approached it with her. Like, I know we're still kind of, you know, figuring things out, and this is kind of crazy, but I thought that your documentarian side would just love this.
And the fact that he even had to bring that up, I was just like, oh, God.
He needs to watch the movie or read the book. He's just not that into you. But put the he as a she.
I know. Okay. I know. He is basically the Jennifer Connelly character.
Yes. Precious.
I just, he would be the Drew Barrymore character because Jennifer Connelly was the one that was married. Yes, that's who we would be.
Oh, the Drew Barrymore just sitting at her desk.
I love that scene when she's like, there's so many ways to communicate with people. There's email, there's phone calls, there's text, there's MySpace, there's Facebook. I send him a message and he sends me a text. I don't even know what to do. I feel like that still exists to this day. It's even worse.
Yeah, it's so much worse. So, but I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled that Kevin was able to have that conversation with Randall and really think that all through about like, no, man, like you choose things, you run after them, you jump in, you don't even ask people their advice, if their right. opinions, you just do it. And I'm ready to do that. I know something that I want to do, and this is it.
One question I have for you is, how do you feel about the fact that we already know that he was heading to Vietnam, right? Like we from the season 2 finale.
Yeah.
Did it take away any of the drama for you for Kevin and his and even Zoe's being agreeable to going to Vietnam?
No,
it didn't.
I actually have been expecting for Zoe to make me like her more in the process because I was like, wow, they're that serious that they're flying to Vietnam together.
Okay, yep.
So I thought, okay, I'm going to like Zoe more soon. No, it still hasn't happened. But yeah. Aside from that, I don't think it gave anything away. I think it's been fun to see how Kevin came to this conclusion.
Right. Okay.
Kate.
I was kind of in on Kate.
I was all in on Kate in this episode.
I was kind of in on Kate because of how she's handling the whole Toby thing and how she has been talking with her mom.
Yes.
I liked that. I liked that she called her mom to be like, what? She's sitting in a vet waiting mm-hmm. and being like, Mom, what do I do? Just so you know, when I have maybe baby, I'm going to be calling you all the time.
Love.
And even though people didn't like Rebecca's response, I actually kind of liked it because it was like, yes, I'm here for you, but you're going to be fine. You're going to make decisions. And hopefully...
That part was fine.
Hopefully, you're going to make the right ones. And
that part was fine.
Well, then what didn't you like? What did you not like?
That, like, you're going to have to do what I had to do and just kind of figure it out. And I wanted to say, Rebecca, that's because your mom sucked. Of course you didn't call your mom when you were freaking out at the grocery mart with your three babies trying to get... What was she looking for? Onions. Okay? Of course you didn't call your mom when you had your postpartum anxiety issue in the supermarket and say, Mom, could you please help me? Please. Because you weren't close with your mom. So no, you didn't. But Kate is trying to rekindle whatever there was going on between you two at some point in your life. Don't say you can't call me. You should say, girl, you can call me morning, noon, or night when you have maybe baby. You can call me morning, noon, or night when audio poops a rock.
Well, didn't she say that you can call me anytime? Like, didn't she say, like, I'm always here for you, but I felt like she was just trying to prop her up. You're like, you can call me, but you're gonna be able to do it. And
the problem is that I'm a daughter, and thank God Kate took it the way that you took it, Blake, and as the writers took it. Because when I heard that, and as is Denise, when Denise heard it,
right.
I was like, like there's that little like, yeah, you can call me, but I was able to figure it out myself.
Well, I mean, okay.
And right. I was like, because your mom stunk.
Was it me? Is it just me, but at the end of the episode when they're both at the bench, both Toby and Kate, and they're outside, and all of a sudden, Kate looks over, and she goes, oh, Toby. And he's like, what? He goes, he's pooping. I was like, oh, God. It just, that's just, it just sends shivers up my spine. It was just so awkward.
About the size of that rock. I'm serious. I was like, I don't need to know. I don't need to know what's happening right now because that X-ray got me all sorts of nervous.
Right.
That was
right.
Like birth.
That was a big rock.
I'm
not ready for that.
That wasn't a pebble. Okay. That was like a skipping stone. I don't know what was going on.
Here's another thing that I really liked from this Toby and Kate thing. When she comes in, she's like, Toby, audio ate a rock. And he's like, what? Why weren't you paying attention? Like, da da da. And when she says, it's okay, I'm going to take him to the vet right now. And Toby realizes, oh my God.
Yeah.
I just yelled at Kate because of a dog. And I've had this feeling where I was, when Toby says, listen, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to yell it. But, you know, the person's feelings are already hurt. They already walked
damage
away.
Damage is done.
Damage is done. And you realize how much of a dumbass you are.
What's your language?
Where you're like, oh, that was really stupid.
Yep.
That happened the other day, as a matter of fact.
Frequently, I look at you and I go, you're going to apologize in 3 hours.
and I hate that feeling.
Kate's much nicer.
I know.
They haven't been married as long as we have. I just look at you and go, I'll be okay.
You want to know a funny story that Mary did to me?
What did I do?
Yesterday was Halloween. And I wasn't feeling good. I had spent all night up with my son, Reese, because he was having some anxiety issues. He was just not, he just didn't want to sleep. So I'm like, I'm tired. And when this happens, I try to get like at least an hour's worth of sleep before work. So Mary comes downstairs and I'm like, Mary, I got to go up. I got to get some sleep. And she's like, well, I want to get donuts for the kids. It's Halloween. It's you know, let's just get some donuts and celebrate. I'm looking at her.
And now I have to get popsicles.
Now I got to get popsicles. And I said, Mary, no, I don't want to get donuts. And she says to Reese, tell Daddy Jack Pearson would get donuts.
I did say that.
And I looked at her, and I looked at him, and I was like, mother.
And he did. He did. He said Jack would get donuts, Daddy.
I said Jack would get donuts. And he did say it. And I said, yes, Jack would get donuts. So donuts were went.
Thanks, Jack.
Pearson continues to ruin my life.
Ladies and gents.
Oh, do you have final thoughts for this episode?
Final thoughts?
Yes.
Really? Like, that's it?
Well, actually, I got a question for you. My final thought is this. I don't think it's a coincidence that there has been major changes in this episode, because when you look at the episode count, we are a third of the way through of the season.
Yeah.
And we really haven't gone all that far. The major changes this season took place in this episode. So you look at it as the end of the third act mm-hmm. of This Is Us, mm-hmm. right? So this is when things start to change. The change being Beth and Randall are working together. Randall is going all in on his campaign.
Yep.
Kate is now pregnant. Kate and Toby's depression is hopefully finally starting to turn. Kevin and Zoe make this big leap with each other that they are going to Vietnam. All of these things happen, and it's all in at the 1/3 mark. So now we should expect to see how these changes start to affect all of them for the next third act, right? So the question I have for you, my darling, is this. And I'll give my answer first to give you some time to think about
okay.
it.
Okay.
I want to compare this season right now, so far, that we've seen the whole season.
Okay.
To your favorite Halloween candy.
Oh, okay.
Well, in a good way or a bad way? In a good way or a bad way?
I have no idea what you're getting at, so well, let me hear you do it.
Here's what I'm saying.
And then I have to go get a popsicle, I guess.
This season so far has been like candy corn. Now, I love candy corn. I'm a huge fan. The problem is, it's a little waxy. And it doesn't, you know, there's aftertaste to candy corn. And I would say I would say 3 out of 4 people on this planet effing hate candy corn. They hate it. But I'm all in on candy corn. So the way I look at it is a lot of people don't like this season so far. And I get it. It's a little waxy. You got a little bad aftertaste. And I don't really know if all the colors in the candy corn have different flavors or not. They all just kind of taste the same. But there's good there. There's good there.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, you can really dig into it. And you can say, I can see why candy corn rules. I can see where they're going in this season. And I'm willing to go along with it. but I better get it real soon. I better start getting it real soon. All right, what do you got?
Buddy, I love you. You just did some crazy stuff, okay?
Well, compare it to Skittles. Compare it,
no,
I don't know.
That was all you.
You're not going to go along with this?
I have not had enough coffee.
Fine. All right, hot take. What do you got for
can't throw some like trippy...
It was written in the thing.
At the very bottom. I read as I go.
All right, do you have a hot take?
No.
You don't have a hot take?
No, I'm done.
Oh my God.
Check down.
Fine. All right, I have a hot take.
Candy corn. How is this like candy corn? I don't know.
Mary's all checked out. She's had Bye. Enough. All right, my hot take. All right, I'm kind of take retconning here. All right, I'm take retconning because...
So many words.
This whole thing with Jack and the Vietnamese lady...
Yes.
It's setting it up to be too obvious that they were in a relationship. It's setting it up to be like a thing. And This Is Us, while on the nose, loves to use sleight of hand. They love to do to put you down a path and take you right to the edge and then go, oh, nope. And then take the tablecloth and swipe it right out from underneath you, right?
Like when Grandma and Grandpa showed up and it was Rebecca and Miguel.
Right. And there, so my whole thing is this. I don't think that they were in a relationship. I don't think that there was there's a half Pearson running around. I don't think any of that. And I'm no longer going to be take cornered because I'm take retconning. And that is that.
Okay. All right.
So, my love.
On that note.
Are you ready to close out the show?
Most certainly.
All right.
I know that your powers of retention.
That's my boy.
That's what you sound like right now.
That's my Jeremy Irons right there.
As sick as you are. Pay attention.
My words.
It's my favorite song from the entire Lion King soundtrack. If I actually had a tape to listen to in 1994, it would have worn out right in this spot. But luckily by then I had a CD. But I would literally dance around my kitchen. Even you can't be caught unawares. Oh, it's the best. Such a good episode. You know, I'll be real with you, though. A lot of times, the villain in Disney movies has the best song. Gaston?
Yeah.
Oh, Kill the Beast?
Yep. Totally agree.
Beast doesn't even sing. Oh, well.
He sucks.
No, he does. Well,
he sucks.
He does. Not my favorite. Okay, so... Those of you who've taken the time to give us a shout out online on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, keep it up. The season is going strong. And of course, there's going to be a lot of people looking for This Is Us next Tuesday night. They're all going to be confused. And they're going to be like, why is there red, white, and blue all over my TV screen?
Hold on.
Simba, too.
Great idea! Who needs a king?
No king, no king. La, 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 la.
Idiots, there will be a king.
Okay. So thank you for taking the time to leave us a review in your podcast app of choice. Going to give a shout out to 22435567. I first learned of Mary and Blake when I was looking for an Outlander podcast. I soon fell in love with their stories, commentaries, and humor. They're so fun and funny. I hoped they would do a podcast on This Is Us, and they did. I'm so happy to hear their insights, personal stories, and wicked sense of humor once again. If you want a podcast that is informative, insightful, and then this is the one for you. So thank you very much. Don't forget, if you screenshot your podcast app, you can share that in your Instagram or Facebook stories. You can let people know about it on your wall. Sharing is caring when it comes to the podcast world, my friends. Sharing is caring.
You know what, too? I want to say this because... Because Jeremy Irons makes me so happy, and it's Halloween, and we're all in on this.
Well, it's no longer Halloween, baby. It's November.
Well, it's still Halloween, basically.
It's Thanksgiving.
So this is what I want to say. Okay, let's go with Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for you.
Amen.
And I want to say this. The 80th and the 90th and the 100th review of This Is Us 2, all free shirts.
Shirts for all.
Shirts for all.
I love it.
All free shirts. So if you get number 80 and 90 and 100, let me know.
Love.
And we'll take care of it. You get a free shirt.
I love it.
So, me too.
Don't forget to join our This Is Us 2 community on Facebook. Tell your friends. Add your friends. And on that note, friends, my name is Mary Larson.
And I'm Jeremy Irons.
And this is Us 2.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.